Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Troy Dooley here with Radio for Your Mind. And there is not a cloud in the sky. You know, I was up at about 5:30 this morning, hit the beach right when the first hint of the sun was coming up in the east. And I tell you what, you know, I know that it looks gorgeous coming up over the mountains. It looks gorgeous in the plains. But there's nothing like watching the sun come up in the Gulf of Mexico as it comes into the horizon out of the Caribbean and up into the sky. And as I sat there today and was watching the waves, I was thanking God for my birthday yesterday. I had a wonderful time. Most of my family was here. It was great. Then after everybody had left and the kids had gotten ready for bed, my lovely princess came out, sat down on the couch, and started crying. And I said, "Sweetie, what is it?" And she said, "I didn't want to tell you this on your birthday, but I know that you would want to know." And she shared with me how my lifelong friend, the man that when we were kids, the first police report that was ever written up on me at 14 was with him. I was driving his car when I wasn't supposed to. The first arrest I ever had on gun charges was with him. That was back when I was bounty hunting, and he was one of my buds. We've been through everything. He knows the secrets. He knows the excitements. We've been business partners off and on throughout our whole life. And he'd gone in for an MRI on his back. He's been a mechanic. And they found 3 tumors in the core of his brain. A little bit older than I am, just by a couple years. And then as she shared this, it brought back all those memories. And I said, "You know, honey, we're going to be there for him. And we're supposed to know Monday how soon of an operation it'll be. And Paige will probably take off going in one direction. I've got to run to Austin, take care of some stuff there first. But, you know, we never know how short life is. And although this doesn't have anything to do with leadership per se, it does have to do with an affair of the heart. See, today's chapter, it's the 10th truth, is leadership is an affair of the heart. Relationships are an affair of the heart. This man and I have been through the ringer. His wife is, I mean, when they got married, her and Paige became like sisters. That's how close we are. We've watched their kids grow up. They've watched our kids grow up. There's been years when we've been very, very close. We've talked almost on a daily basis. And there's been years that has passed as we were raising kids and raising families and moving across the United States. But sometimes a year would go by before we'd communicate. I watched this little girl. I call her a little girl because she's a lot younger than I am. And I remember when she first got into direct sales, I was her sponsor. You know, when you build long-term relationships, when you have those childhood shared memories, it's amazing what happens. Well, guess what? Leadership is that way, folks. Leadership really is an affair of the heart. Hang on, man. I got to clean my eyes out. Try not to cry here. But leadership is an affair of the heart. This old myth that we hear in The Godfather where we hear him say, "It's just business. It's not personal. It's just business." That's poppycock. Everything is personal. And when it's not personal, when it's only business, then we got issues. You know, it's one thing in the military when it's business. There were times, there was training that I received where it would be real easy to look down the scope of a rifle and take care of business. And people would say, "Well, it's not personal. I've got a brother-in-law that was a sniper. So it was just business." No, it's personal. Everything is personal. There is no such thing as separation. I don't care who you are. You can be a serial killer, and I'm telling you, it's personal. When you get into the mental part of the brain, everything is personal. The problem is we try to tell ourselves that it's just business. The guys write it this way. When you hear sportscasters talk about athletes who dug deep, make the extra effort, and win the match or the medal, they say he had a lot of heart. When you read news stories about someone who dedicated herself to some challenging event, they say it took a lot of heart. When you hear a story about someone who kept going despite all the odds, all the other people gave up, you hear them say it's a lot of heart. But yet there's this prevailing myth that managers are supposed to divorce their emotions from a situation and approach things purely rationally. See, we've all been taught that. I can remember with one of my jobs, they'd say, look, this is your first management position. Don't get close to the people that you manage. I got close with everybody. It sucks. Let me tell you, right now, you end up have a downturn and you got to lay people off and you're close to them. Man, it hurts. That's what keeps you humble. See, that's the key. I remember laying off a lady once. I set her down in my office. I gave her every opportunity to tell us the truth. This lady had come to us with a story. She knew my passion for my people. She knew that our team had grown to love everybody in the office, and we would do anything to help them. And we had given her money to help her children. We had given her all kinds of things just to find out that money did not go where it was supposed to go. And when we found that out, I had to confront her. And it was hard for me because she was a beautiful woman, an excellent worker, great kids, but she lied. She'd made it personal. It was personal for me. There's going to be times that it's not going to be easy when you become and take it personal, but you have to take it personal. There's no way around that. Research indicates that the highest performing managers and leaders are the most open and caring. The best leaders demonstrate more affection towards others and want others to be more open with them. They are more positive and passionate, more loving and compassionate, and more gracious and graceful and encouraging than their lower performing counterparts. See, what's so fun about this book is I've strive to go through each of the 10 truths. Is that the fact every one of them really are true? I've lived them in my life. Starting out in the Marine Corps, where my drill instructor would look us in the eyes and say, I love you guys, and that's why I'm being hard on you. I want you to be the best, because if you have to look down the barrel of a gun, I want you to know why you're doing it. I look back at my coaches and realize when they sat there and they said, I love you guys, and I'm doing this so that when you're on the line, you don't get hurt. I realized what they were saying. I realized today that when my dad would smack my butt for lying to him, and he said, son, this really does hurt me more than it hurts you. Excuse me, I'm starting to understand it. See, true leadership is an affair of the heart. There's no integrity and honor without heart. There's no commitment and conviction without heart. There's no hope and faith without heart. There's no trust and support without heart. There's no perseverance and courage without heart. There's no learning and risk-taking without heart. Nothing important ever gets done without heart. Pure and simple. Exemplary leaders will excel at performing improvements because they pay great attention to the human heart. In my part of the world, in my worldview, sometimes you'll hear our churches say, do you have Jesus in your heart? That never made any sense to me growing up. And one day as I was studying leadership, I started to realize something. When you truly believe in something, when you truly are willing to die for something, it's not something that's in your brain where you try to make logical deduction. It's so deep-rooted in the core of your heart that it becomes second nature, that it's just a given, that there's no question about it. You know that it's an absolute truth. That's what the heart's there for. I wouldn't die for many people. My wife and my kids are one of them. There's a few others, but they come first. I would die for this country. I would die for the flag that flies behind me in almost every video that I shoot. I don't base that love, that loyalty, that commitment on necessarily the person that's sitting in the White House or the people that are sitting in Congress. I don't like my wife's actions all the time, but I love her unconditionally. See, once it's in your heart, things change. See, when you say, well, okay, Troy, how does that work like in business, though? Because, you know, you're getting mushy on us again. No, listen. When you believe so deeply in the purpose or the crusade or the mission of your company, that every day you get excited, you get so passionate at waking up, that sometimes in the middle of the night you're writing down stuff because you know it's going to help the team. When you put the team before you, you've fallen in love. Your team's going to start acting. They're going to start moving forward. Author Parker Palmer writes this: the power of authentic leadership is found not in external arrangements, but in the human heart. Authentic leaders in every setting, from families to nations, states, aim at liberating the heart, their own and others, so that its power can liberate the world. Nothing external is going to save us. The governments, no companies, not technology, not heroes on white horses. But imagine what can be done when people experience the power of the human heart. Think of phrases in history that came from the heart. Give us liberty or give us death. There's one from America. Give us liberty or give us death. United we stand, divided we fall. Another one comes from the heart. I love you comes from the heart. When you think about it, every great crusade, every great revolution, every great cause comes from the heart. Irwin Fetterman, who's the former CFO and CEO and currently with U.S. Venture Partners, once said this: you don't love someone because of who they are. You love them because of the way they make you feel. The axiom applies equally in a company setting. It may seem inappropriate to use words such as love and affection, especially in political correct situations, in relations to business. Conventional wisdom has it that management is not a popularity contest, but I contend, however, that all things being equal, we will work harder and more effectively for people we like, and we like them in direct proportion to how they make us feel. This is a CFO and a CEO of a huge organization. This isn't just Troy getting out on an early morning, every day, sharing on a radio show. You know, this is proven. 30 years of research shows this. Love is the soul of leadership. If you want people to willingly follow you, you've got to love them first, and they've got to love you back. Vince Lombardi, maybe the greatest coach ever in professional football, his players loved him. They would do anything for him. Artie Murphy, the most decorated Marine in the history of the world, also a great Hollywood actor, would go into battle for his troops. He more than once defied the odds and make it behind enemy lines to rescue his own people. Single-handedly hold off the enemy to make sure others got free. Happy Boynton of the Black Sheep Squadron in the Pacific Theater. Him and his guys were the rebels of the Marine Corps Air Wing at the time. But they had more successful missions. They would do what others wouldn't do for the love of country, for the love of each other. Love is what sustains people along the journey to the summit of any mountain. Love is the source of the leader's courage. Leaders are in love and in love with leading, in love with their organization, their products, their services, and most of all, in love with the people. I know you guys probably get sick of hearing me talk about Ignite 360, but I love what I do. It's not about teaching people how to secure their computers. It's not about marketing a cloud services. You know what it is? It's this passion that I have to help protect other people's families. It's this passion I have to add value in people's lives. It's this passion that I have to help individuals reach their financial destination. But it doesn't stop with my own company. That's the fun part here. You know why we do company reviews and why we do the news report on Friday? Because I love to help people grow. I take time every day out of my schedule when I get an instant message or I get an email that's asking me specifically, Troy, I'm about to make a decision. Can you give me advice? I had a guy yesterday on Facebook, and he said, Troy, I need to know about MLM energy companies. I said, whoa, you know, there's some good ones out there, but I classify them high risk. Not because of leadership or because of compensation plans or anything, just because energy is a commodity. I mean, look, I'm just glad there's not a network marketing company selling gasoline. You know, I mean, it's crazy. But we had a great long talk, and at the end he goes, you know, I'm kind of thinking maybe I need to put a service together and help connect MLMers. I said, dude, nobody's done that. I think that's awesome. Let me know how I can help. I'd love to help. You know, I mean, it's just amazing when you see how things work and how things happen, you know, and what's going on and how you can make it all worthwhile. See, it's about loving what you do, loving your people. It's funny because the dictionary, you know, definitions, they just change all the time. You know, it's one of those things that you look at what the word family meant in the 1950s and 60s, and then you look today and you see that it's totally different. But in the dictionary, it tells us love is a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection. Now, I think love is an action. I don't think it should be a feeling at all. And I know it's, you know, my wife, if she isn't here, would smack the back of my head being a romance writer, because in her books, it's definitely about feelings a lot of the times. But it is action. Love is an action, plain and simple, truly an action. When you love people, when you love your people in particular, when you care about your people, it's an action that you take. Rodney Ferris defines love as a feeling of caring or deep respect for yourself and others, of valuing and believing in yourself and others and in helping them to achieve their best. The guys write, exemplary leaders do not place themselves at the center, they place others there. They do not seek attention of people, they give it. Yesterday in our company, I have an up-and-coming leader. He's nobody you guys would ever heard of. His name is John Earl. Little Texan of Tyler, Texas. And it's really so awesome because he's starting to grow in that little town down there. So yesterday we shot a video and put it up of him. And it was so cool because this is a man that I feel is a servant leader and he's going to go somewhere. Today, without my team knowing it, I'm doing a blog post. And I'm going to share with the world some of the great people at the command center in Austin. See, it's something that I've learned just this year, and it's probably because I have all these grandbabies now. But it's not really about becoming a legend. It's not becoming a good. It's not becoming the hero that matters. It's about leaving a legacy. It's having others that are there. It's others that are carrying on the mantle of success. They're carrying on the love. And if you think I'm whacked, the chief solution officer, former chief solution officer of Yahoo's named Tim Sanders, wrote a whole book called Love is the Killer App. He's one of the wisest men in the technology industry. People come to him for all kinds of stuff. See, love will enlarge our lives. Love creates the desires to serve others and to see them grow and become their best. The guy's right. Why, constituents may initially be dependent on you for some benefit or gain. Your end objective is to make them independent of you. We have repeatedly observed that when working at your personal best, leaders transform their followers into leaders. Now, I'll tell you what. Now we can get a burr under my saddle. Because one thing that just burns my hide more than anything else is leaders in direct selling that don't allow their leaders to branch out and lead. They keep trying to tell them, you got to do it our way, you got to do it our way, you got to do it our way. Now, I don't believe in reinventing the wheel all the time. But doggone it, when a leader starts to show that they've got it, and they start to put some stuff together with their own personality, and they're ready to jump out front, and they're ready to do something, then let them go do it. Don't you dare hold them back. Leaders are leaders. You have to let them rock. You have to let them roll. They're going to make doggone mistakes. So do your kids. You know what? I don't know a father in the world that wants his kids to grow up to be like him. Not even Donald Trump. You know, I don't know how many times my daddy would say, one of these days you're going to have boys. I'm just going to snicker. And he has. I can't find my tools. My bank account's always empty. They're always needing something. I wouldn't trade them for $1 million. Not one of them. I've let them grow and I've let them make their own mistakes. Only one of them hasn't been in any legal trouble. And he's my rebelest one of them all. But you know what? I love them. I've got guys in my organization and gals in my organization and they screw it up all the time. I still love them. Let them make their mistakes. See, you've got to believe in your heart of hearts that your fundamental purpose, your reason for being as a leader, is to enlarge the lives of others. When you do this, your life will be enlarged. And all of the other things that we've been taught to concentrate on will take care of themselves. The reason that Dennis Dottel, my business partner and my friend, has been successful in life, not just in business, long-term, one marriage with his beautiful wife, two beautiful boys that are successful in their own rights in sports, two beautiful daughters who are out there in the world today, one is as a teacher, one is a photographer, and a wife to stand by his side and help keep him founded. And it's just, I mean, this boy married up, let me tell you. One of these days I'll share Cindy's life with you. But the reason he's like he is today is because he has one mission in life, and it's not to succeed at business. It's not to be a billion-dollar company. It's to add value to people's lives. He walks his talk 24/7. The guys write this, love enlarges lives. Love creates the desire to serve others and to see them grow and become their best. I thought, wow. Wow. That right there, I mean, I've said that twice now. It's wow, because that's what it takes. See, by understanding the needs and values of those that we lead, exemplary leaders will interact in ways that make others feel more confident and more capable. They elevate their people to the higher plane. They raise others' morals and ethical behaviors. They heighten positive emotions. They elevate the strategic thinking possibilities. They enhance the physical well-being and they generate significantly improved performance. I just love that. Gary Strack, who's the former CEO of the regional healthcare system here in Florida, once said this: I constantly remind myself that my name is not on the organization. I think all leaders, including myself, need to be reminded of that, and that we are just in our positions as stewards of our people and our organizations, which we have been entrusted with. Now, see, I live my life that way. I actually take it from a Bible scripture that say, when you work for someone else, you work as unto the Lord. In my way of thinking, everything I do, and look, man, I'm not trying to get you to believe my way, so please understand that. I'm just telling you, in my life, and it's worked for me, so you may think I'm about as silly as the day is long, but in 47 years, I've had success and failure, and success and failure. That old saying, three steps forward, two steps back, that's my life, which means I'm always one step ahead of where I was. I've been married to my wife half my adult life. I have 6 wonderful children. I have 5 granddaughters and 1 grandson. I live on a beach. I'm not the most financially successful person in the world, but I may have been one of the few people in direct selling that has literally affected more lives than anybody else indirectly, because I don't ask for anything in return. I try to live this life right here, help others, help them be better, help them grow forward. See, I believe that that's the key, but here's something that I have learned, and I learned it personally from my own stupidity, my own mistakes as a young leader, and from watching others who should have learned a lot better at a lot earlier age. Self-centered leaders can never achieve the kind of transformation that I'm talking about. They're too focused on satisfying their own needs to be concerned with others. They're too concerned with becoming a legend instead of leaving a lasting legacy. I've seen leaders abuse their positions. Sex, money, you name it. I've had to be on the receiving end of taking care of some young ladies in organizations who were sexually abused by their managers. That's tough. I've watched guys that are so narcissistic, and women the same way. If you think that men are the only ones that sexually abuse people in the workplace, you're seriously mistaken. There are truly some A-plus personality women that, because of abuse in their own life, will go about abusing men that are underneath their authority. We're not even going to go down that rabbit trail today. I'm just telling you, I've seen it happen personally. You can't be that kind of leader. And if you're that kind of leader, you will never have the success that you could have enjoyed. You may have all the money in the world. You may be able to buy all the women that you need, but you will never buy contentment in your heart. You will never leave a legacy. You've got to show people that you care, that you want to be different, that you want to take it to the next level, that they are more important. If you show your love, that means that you have to pay attention to what their needs are. You've got to recognize them and tell stories about them all the time. They have to know without a shadow of a doubt that they're the most important thing in your life. And the only way to do that is if you love what you do and do what you love. It's the only way. Anything beyond that, you just aren't going to make it. I'm going to tell you that right. Finalizing this whole series, and Monday we're going to start a new series. And if everything goes right, I'm looking for my book right now. It's called Integrity by Dr. Henry Cloud. It's a beautiful book. You're going to love it. I love this man. A great guy. It's a great leadership book. And you may ask me, Troy, why is it you spend more time on this than the nuts and bolts? It's because the nuts and bolts are only 12.8% of what you need to know. The other 87.2% is on you. To be a better person and how to deal with people. The truth is that leadership is an affair of the heart. Leaders put their heart into their business and their businesses into their hearts. They love what they're doing, and they stay in love with leading with the people who do the work, with what their organizations produce, and with those who honor them by using their products and services. They show they care by paying attention to people, sharing success stories, and making people feel important and special. Exemplary leaders are positive and upbeat, generating the emotional energy that enables others to flourish. Folks, join us this afternoon. We have Ty Tribble, one of the greatest direct marketing leaders out there, one of the best bloggers in the world, on Aces Radio Live. You can go to acesradiolive.com and get all the stuff. Next week, We will be doing the show live from Austin, Texas. It's going to be a fun time. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Have a fantastic weekend, and thank you for tuning in to Radio.